Global Air Force is here to bring God's love, help, and power into your life. Come fly with Global Air Force.
They say sometimes you win some, sometimes you lose some. Right now, I'm losing bad. Stood on this stage night after night, reminding the broken it'll be alright. Right now, I just can't. It's easy to say, there's nothing to bring me down. But what will I say when I'm held to the flame like I am right now?
Christianity isn't just a ticket to heaven, you know, and a lot of us are living that way, but it's actually being whole and helping other people become whole, what Jesus did.
It's a ticket to life.
To life now.
And here's your host, Dr. Jim Rome.
Praise the Lord, it is another beautiful day. I'm meeting here with the man, Paul Martini. And this man has quite a ministry. He's a young man. He's full of energy. He's got a great voice. I got to watch he don't take this program over. I was telling him. Yeah. God is doing great things in his life and giving him insight into the spiritual kingdom, the good side and also the dark side. You know, my friend, there is a dark side as well as a good side. And, you know, you should be aware of them both. And God is for you. He's there waiting for you. And that's the team, that's what Paul and I would say, that's the team we think you should be on. And I'd like you to listen to Paul, and then you make a decision today. What team do you think you'd like to be on?
Yeah.
Paul? Paul Martini. Hey, welcome. It's great to have you back.
Awesome. Thank you, Dr. Okay. Jim. Well, yeah, I mean, the team to be on is the Lord's. I mean, I've been on both, you know. I've unwillingly been on the devil's team.
On the devil's team?
Yeah, and I've been beaten down. You know, that's where you're...
You weren't winners?
I wasn't winning. I had times of feeling good, but there was twice as many times of feeling bad.
Oh.
And little did I know, I wasn't free until God touched my life. And then I decided to be on his team, and I found this freedom. And being free and full of love and his love, and that being in you is always his intent. And so that's why I can't stay around seeing people locked up, because they're bound.
You say they're in like prison?
Yeah, they're in prison to themselves, you know. And the devil has a hold on them. And we had spoken earlier about lies, and they're believing lies over their life that's limiting what God wants to do in their life.
So you had a lie. This is why you were, one of the reasons you were down in this.
Yeah.
Okay, you had a lie. Maybe tell us a little bit about that in case somebody missed a little bit. Can you just give us a brief thing? You were in a lie. You were believing a lie.
Yeah.
And it was running your life?
Yeah.
Just a lie?
Well, it's not just a lie, but it is a lie. It's a lie that's, you know, either you have, the devil's spoken over you and you believed it in your own mind, or a stranger or your own family members might have even said things about you, or things spoken over you, like you'll never be anything. All you care about is yourself, or, you know, this is the way your life will always be. You know, things that have been spoken over you that you've been believing.
Yeah, and often those people that speak these things over are important to you. They're authority figures.
Sure.
They're somebody that's close.
These could be teachers. These could be your bosses, your parents, your brothers, your sisters, people who love you and people who want the best for you.
People
who love you. But the problem
meaning
is,
well, maybe they're
right. Yeah, but the problem is that it's fear-based. So the
fear-based.
Right. So say your father says to you, "Hey, Paul, you'll never be anything unless you do this." He's trying to motivate you, I guess, to work or to do something so that you can strive for something. That's the problem, is that you're striving, but the devil harps on the part that your dad said you'll never be anything.
We say that's hot.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you hear things, they don't bother you. You don't think.
Right.
And then there's times when people say the smallest thing. It just knocks you down.
Right.
And sometimes we call that, is that hot? Mm-hmm. But that experience, was it demonically inspired?
Sure, yeah.
Were you ready to, you know, to be knocked down at that comment? Go on.
Yeah, and by the time that we're adults, we're living out these lies that, you know, so say our father says we'll never be anything. So we think we're doing good because we're striving to be something.
Mm-hmm.
But no matter what we strive for, we still feel like we're nothing. We'll still feel empty and unfulfilled. And so then we go, well, what's the meaning of life? You know, and a lot of these kids in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, doesn't matter. Here they're searching for something. And now as Christians, as believers in Christ, who have the truth and can see someone walking around living a lie, whether it be a homeless man or a stockbroker, we need to be able to look into them and say, "Hey, man, this is the truth about your life. This is what God always intended for you, and He loves you." And when people hear that, there's something released over them. You know, they don't even have to be saved at that moment, but we've planted a seed, and that truth gets a hold of them. And you know what? It might take four times. If everyone was listening to God speaking, if every Christian was listening to God speaking, I believe that the lost would get these words spoken over them constantly, where finally they say, "All right, God, what is it? I'll give you my life. I want what you have. I want what you're saying, Lord, because you know me. You've created me." Jesus says, or God says in Jeremiah, you know, I before you were in the womb, I knew you.
Mm-hmm.
And He knows you. He loves you. He's created you for a plan and a purpose.
Yeah, He created us for a good plan, a good purpose. In fact, that's what I believe the word predestined. The Bible says you were predestined for good works. When God created man, He had a plan, and it was for good.
Yeah.
And, well, we may be operating now on double Y plan or double Z now, because God's original intention was good. He had never any intention to promote the devil.
Right.
The Bible says that there was iniquity found in him. He turned. He perverted what was good. That wasn't God that did it. God is not responsible. He's not responsible for your mess, your misery, the world problems. No matter what you've heard, that's what I believe.
It's true, Jim.
Go on.
It's very true. And so, I mean, that's, and here's if you're a Christian and listening to this radio program, here's the thing about the loss that really freed me is that I didn't realize I was judging them. I would see someone and say, "Man, this person, you need to do this, you need to do that. This is where you went wrong." And it was like I had all these predetermined judgments over these people, and it put me in bondage because I couldn't minister to them. So God wanted to speak truth to them, and I'm seeing things that I want to say to them, like, "Hey, man, you need to put that cigarette out if you're really serious about this." Blah blah blah, you know, or God can't touch them. God, you can't touch them until they're sober.
You had it bad. I don't want to say it, but I think you were wrong.
I totally was. But, you know, but on the opposite perspective, once I was freed, I could minister to, and it didn't matter who they were, and it didn't matter what condition they were in. You know, I believe in the church. I believe that people need to be in church, but I don't believe it needs to be because of the message of the pastor necessarily speaking the best message. You know what I'm saying? He might be a dynamic and great speaker. I mean, the gospel message is amazing, and I'm not trying to say, but, you know, some people go because they like, because the pastor's funny.
That's kind of a sidebar.
Right. No, I want people to be like, "I'm here because of Joe, because Joe in the fourth pew came and saw me on the side of a building, and he didn't see the needle sticking out of my arm, and he didn't see the things that I stole, but Joe came to me, and Joe said that I was full of life and that God loved me and that He was going to do amazing things in my life. Ooh. And God was going to, God wanted to make me a strong person, and God wanted to restore all the relationships that I had broken." And so that's why I'm going to church, because of Joe in the fourth pew.
Oh,
now that's what I think the church is going to be, or, you know, what the church needs to get to. It's not about the pastor and how great he is, because he's, you know, only going to be able to do
what you've said is it. You got that nailed right on the center.
Yeah, I mean, that's the amazing part, is that we need to love everybody. And, like, you know, when I say judging the lost, it's even judging Muslims. That God loves them so much. Mm-hmm. I love them because he loves them. Jews, you know, God loves them so much. And, you know, especially I have Orthodox friends who are great friends of mine. Orthodox Jews, God-fearing, God-loving people, they don't know the fullness of truth yet. But I'm not going to be the Christian to tell them what they don't know. I'm going to be the Christian who's going to love the heck out of them. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I'm a Christian, and I'm supposed to love. You know,
mm-hmm.
And so, but that's the, so anyway, that's the whole point of where I'm coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They say it only takes a little faith to move a mountain. Well, good thing. Little faith is all I have right now. God, when you choose to leave mountains unmovable, oh, give me the strength to be able to sing. It is well with my soul. I know you're able and I know you can sing through the fire. Day. Jesus, I will cling to you, come what may, 'cause I know you're able, I know. It is well with my soul.